Hi, y'all. My name is Danasia, and I'm a 22-year-old type A black girl from Las Vegas who just moved to New York City last year to work for L'Oreal as a financial analyst.
Hey, y'all. My name is Faith, and I'm a 23-year-old type A black girl from AZ living in Denver, working remotely for Cisco as a business analyst.
This season is finally here, and we can't wait to share more about our personal lives, working big girl jobs,
relationships, and life in general as type A black girls. Hope you enjoy.
Wow, we're on episode 9, girls.
I know, bro.
I know. All our girlies are like, wow, this season is flying past. Please enjoy it, because once we go on this hiatus,
other than Patreon, it's wraps.
It's wraps until we back in a stew. So yeah. We gotta do what we gotta do. Let's go ahead and dive into our class renounce before we get started. I know you guys are sick of hearing this, but we gotta hammer it home.
They can't be sick, moms. They can't be. There's just no way they can't. And you know why? Because they're going to get so many gems in the 17 podcast seasons we're going to do in the future. They can listen to 3 minutes of this. This is true.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, just fast forward this part.
Yeah, you got it.
So
yeah.
Basically, if you guys are in our book club, please make sure that you guys are keeping up with the book that we are reading. Since this actually is up to date, let me get the name of our author here. But we will be having our book club meeting on May 19th, which is in damn near 2 weeks. So make sure you guys are reading your book. It's Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan. So make sure you guys are keeping up with that. And we'll have any updates regarding the book club in our GroupMe. Speaking of GroupMe, make sure you're in it. I want to say we're at a pretty good amount of girls in there.
The girlies? I never checked the number, but I don't know if I can even check the number. I think that since you're an admin, that's something you can check.
We're at 186. So let's get to 200.
Let's get 200.
Shoot. Make sure you guys are in there. Yeah. And we have a good number also for the YouTube. Where are we at, moms?
312.
Hey, we were begging for 50 at one point. So I'm glad. I'll take it. So make sure you guys are keeping up with all of our links. That'll always be in the description box of this episode. Also, if you guys have any questions or dilemmas, please make sure to submit all of those to our free suggestion bots. We answer everything. So just make sure you guys are submitting all those. And we will get to them when we can in each episode.
Yeah.
But I know you guys are probably like, who is with us today?
Oh, for real.
Especially if you're watching on YouTube, which you should be. So, mm-hmm. Colin, let's introduce Colin, our guest for today.
Yay! So, I met Colin. If you guys watched the friendship breakup episode, so I couldn't go on my Mexico trip. So, me and Natasha booked a really quick type P California trip. And she had just crossed. So, she had like all the contacts for all the people. And we ended up going to a party. And it was with a decent amount of noobs and then just a whole bunch of other people. And I was like, I don't know nothing about none of this. But it was so fun. It was very hospitable. And then after that, I don't know if it was the next day or the following night. I don't know. But we ended up linking up and just eating pizza or something at like this park.
Wings.
Yes.
Okay.
Wings. Yes, we got wings. And Natasha was like, okay, well, we're going to follow him to this thing after we get these wings. And I'm like, what dreadhead are we meeting? Like, what? Like, that's how.
Because why would you say that? Like,
he was like, we're meeting this dreadhead. Like, he's a noob. I'm like, those two things mean not much to me, but okay, let's just go ahead and meet him. And he put us onto this really good wing spot. Do you remember the place?
SoCal Wings.
It was lit, and we're just chilling, but I'm texting Dammy, hey, we're going to this park to eat wings with this dreadheaded guy. And he's like, what? Y'all just wilding out in California? I'm like, no, bro, I promise you. Like, but he doesn't understand the Greek thing. And I'm like, they got like a connection. I don't know. I really don't know. But anyways, it was cool. I was calling him Dredge the whole night because y'all know I'm not good with names. And he reached out and he was like, hey, think I could be a good guest. And I'm like, you're onto something, because we have never got into this sector of life, which is sports at all. So
we've never had actually any talk ever of any sport ever. So there's a first time for everything. Is there anything else you would introduce about yourself?
Yes, like exactly.
Where you're from, what you do, all the above.
Well, from New Orleans originally, moved to California after Hurricane Katrina. Right now, I'm a professional basketball player. That's my occupation. Graduated from Long Beach State. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's
nothing too crazy, just, you know, and I'm sure we'll get a feel of his personality a little bit more into the episode, but I will say, like, we ended up, I think that night we played Uno, we were drinking like wine. It was the best wine I've ever had, and y'all know what I like to drink. Best wine I've ever had. And then we just like drove to the beach, and then him and Natasha was running in the sand, like, just yeah. They was racing. Crazy spring break, but needed. Absolutely needed. But yeah, it was a great time. But let's go ahead and get straight into the question of the week. So Colin, we'll have you answer first. So what's your current hyperfixation, food, snack, or restaurant, or all of the above?
I was just in Greece, so I said Greek salad. Every day. I would need it. Every day.
What?
Sometimes twice a day.
What? Is it that good?
It's terrific. It's terrific.
Wow. Well, when in Greece, shoot, I'd be eating it too. Are you kidding?
It's terrific though. Like, really good. And I think the thing that made it really tasty was the balsamic vinaigrette. I think it was something about whether it's the location, whether I was like placebo affected.
Yeah.
But fantastic. I don't really like Greek salads like that because they be doing a little bit of different stuff with it, but it was really good there.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. I might have to tap in. I'm not going to lie. I'm only a Caesar girl, and I just got into that. If y'all know, I used to be very picky. I used to be eating dry salad, just leaves. I just got into dressing. So baby steps. So Greek salad is now on a list.
Good.
Bro, I've been actually making this pasta salad with like little spiral noodles, chickpeas, red onions, like Greek dressing, baby cucumbers. And honestly, just for a little snack, but like I'm not just eating Cheez-Its, that's a really good adult snack. Like that junk, like not Greek salad, but more so like Greek pasta kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like Greek pasta salad. That junk. And then I just chop like some salami and some pepperoni and then just shake it up and some seasonings. We're good to go for the full week. That's the only meal prepping I'm really doing.
No, literally. I was going to say, even like adult Lunchables, I'll take some like salami with some cheese and crackers and some jelly. Oh, I'm good. I'm eating that all lunch break. I'm sorry, that's girl math, girl dinner, girl lunch.
Girl lunch, yeah.
Girl that's, snack.
That's definitely girl lunch for sure.
My other fixation has been slime. Moms, you notice.
Moms, me and Dammy we do like, I swipe twice, he swipes swipes 10 times, I swipe 10 times on TikTok. Why do we get so many slime TikToks?
I don't know what's in the air. Y'all, this started last week when Faith was here. I liked one slime video. I was like, oh, that's cute. It was one of those ones that was like, how scoopable is the slime?
Yes.
That was very aesthetically pleasing, so I liked it. My whole For You page for the whole week has been slime. I got an order on the way with three different slimes. They sold me. I said, you know what? I need to see this in person live. I ain't never played with slime once in my life, but literally I was so like into it. I don't know what it is, but maybe I got to post it on the story so y'all can see what I'm talking about because this probably sounds so dumb. But literally the slime, like the way they have it, just, it was addicting.
Have you ever seen slime before, Colin?
I don't have TikTok, but what is slime?
Oh, you're so strong.
What is slime? Oh my god.
Oh, so, don't worry. I got you. I got downloaded videos. I will send them to you after this. Okay. You just wait.
Dang.
How do you even like describe slime?
Like think of it as like
kinda, but you play with it.
Think of it as like if you see those like ASMR videos and they're playing with like glue or slime, but these ones have different designs. So it's like they make them in really cute colors and like they're just very, very like addicting to look at. So
Okay.
I'm not doing slime justice with this description, but you know.
you know, yeah. Honestly, well the videos we send to Colin will also be up on the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's that was a
crazy intro. Yeah, let's get into these questions.
Yes. So, Colin, can you tell us about your journey to becoming a professional basketball player overseas, like from like 5 to now?
Okay. Y'all want the long version or short version? Or like medium?
We can do long.
We can do long. We got time. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. So I started playing ball around like 5. My dad originally wanted me to play like football, baseball, run track, do other things. You know what I mean? But because I had a health condition where I was allergic to cut grass. So when I was out in the grass and doing things and playing with other kids, it would be like I would get sick or I couldn't breathe and I would have to go to the hospital every time. And there was a point in time where the doctor was like, hey, we're going to call CPS if it continues to come in here for the same thing. So then my dad was like, all right, like as much as you have fun playing outside and no matter how good you are, like your last bet is to play basketball. So that was the last sport that I ended up having to play just because I couldn't do anything else. And it turns out that I was like okay at it enough to where I can continue to like keep playing it and I had fun. So I started playing ball around that time. And then I started playing organized basketball maybe at 6. And we went to start traveling, going around the country and stuff. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but like AAU, you familiar with AAU? You know
what that like is? The kids sports sector?
Yeah, it is. It is. Oh. It is.
Okay.
It's like organized groups, like club sports. It's
okay.
Like, well, okay.
Exactly. It's that. Mm-hmm. So I was involved with that from like 6 all the way till I turned 18. And that was pretty much the trajectory of me playing organized basketball. Got my first scholarship offer when I was like in 8th grade, 7th grade.
And oh my God.
Yeah. So that's around the time when I figured out that maybe I could like be good at it. Really. I could be really, really good at it. And all I wanted to do was go to college and make sure that my parents didn't have to pay for me. And then I also wanted to be like one of the best where I was from. So that kind of motivated me to just do my best. And then I went to college at Tulane University to start.
Period. Yeah. I love Tulane.
Yeah, Tulane's beautiful. That was my dream institution, not just because of like the sport aspect, but more so because of the curriculum and the way that they taught things and the way that they had a lot of different buildings that was dedicated to student learning. Like they would have 3 or 4 really high-tech buildings that were open 24 hours and every student had access to them. And for example, there were some buildings like in Newcomb College, that's like the liberal arts college, that they would have a building dedicated to everyone whose major was there. So if you had your key card and if you were like a communication major or whatever, you would have access to that building 24 hours. But like somebody who was in math or was a business major didn't have access to that. So it was like really specific and motivated you to be like kind of interested in learning. That had nothing to do with basketball, but that is why
I had
two lanes. So.
Yeah, that's a good perk.
Yeah, it's great, you know? So then from Tulane, I went to Long Beach State, and that's where I ended my career. I became a Nuke there, won a championship there.
Period.
I got a few accolades there, and now I'm a professional. I played my first year in Turkey, then Turkey and Finland. And then this year, I played in Macedonia. So
Wait, no, back up. Because you worked over that. Like, we need to unpack that.
Yeah, okay. How did
you... Playing overseas, what was, like, first of all,
process.
How did you even figure out, like, did the teams choose where you went, or did you have a say in where you go? Like, what's that look like?
Well, so typically, my process was a little bit different. So as soon as I got out of college, like, I was NBA eligible. So you have a choice. Like, you can either take the NBA route, or you could take the overseas route. And I had a representative. I hired an agent. So as soon as you get out of college, you hire an agent and somebody to represent you and kind of like put you in the rooms that you haven't been in yet. So, for instance, like a general manager wouldn't contact me personally. They wouldn't say, hey, Colin, I'm interested in you. They would say, all right, who's representing him? What history does your agent have with these type of players? Does he usually have high level players? What connections does he have with different teams? So I would say my process was more so on the overseas route because that's where his connections were. He had strong ties overseas, which landed me in a pretty good area. So what they do is your agent will text you and he'll say, all right, there's this team that's interested in you for this amount of money, for this amount of time, and this is what the contract looks like. And sometimes they don't send the contract just to kind of get a gauge if you're interested or not. So that's usually how it goes. And depending on who you are, you'll have a lot of offers, a little bit of offers, high level, low level. It depends. You know what I mean? And it also depends on what you want to do and what type of opportunity you have. So my opportunity was a pretty good one. I went to a really, really good league straight out of college in Turkey, which that experience for me, I would say, was really, really eye-opening. There's no preparation for being shell-shocked to living fully immersed in another culture around different people who have no interest in speaking your language. Like, you speak English and they're like, no, like, I'm not even gonna even try to learn. You talk to me in my language so I can have an understanding of what you're trying to say to me. Other than that, there's nothing to talk about. So those adjustments and like, it's really humbling and it really gives you like a sense of gratitude where you are.
Oh my gosh.
So let's just start at Turkey. You're in Turkey. Mm-hmm. What does that language barrier look like? I know none of your family came with you. Like, can you like explain that process with no family, no friends, you had to learn a whole new language on top of starting a whole new job? What right. did all that look like?
Well, like I would say it's similar to anybody who with small differences. It's similar to anybody who finishes college, right? Like when you get out of college, that same shell shock that you feel, like, okay, I'm in the world. And the same way you would wanna like if you ventured off away from your parents, you went off to college, you stayed away from home. And all the adjustments, all the building blocks you need to be better as an employee or even as you pursuing your passion if you're an entrepreneur. All those challenges are the exact same. They're the exact same. Because you're not necessarily prepared straight out of college to be in a workforce and have like coworkers and understand culture and understand like sometimes the people who employ you don't like you. Sometimes that will happen. So in my case, I was playing professionally and it's like, when you're in an environment where a coach is trying to communicate with you and he doesn't speak your language, you have a translator who also lied on his resume, right? Saying he speaks English. Now, I'm not saying he lied, but his English and the translations weren't adding up to what the coach was saying. So now you have to visibly look and like, I don't know if you guys know. So I'm like the quarterback. The point guard is like the quarterback. He has
I know that part.
You be running. Yeah.
Steph Curry. I know that.
Right. So the coach and the point guard are like this. I'm an extension of him. So if I don't understand a word that's coming out of his mouth ever, and the interpreter says on his resume, I speak English and Turkish. But when he's not translating things to me, and I'm looking at this man, and I have to execute what came out of his mouth. And when it doesn't happen, he doesn't understand why it's not happening because he doesn't understand English, but the translator also isn't doing a good job. And it's not to any fault of anyone, but it's just like, that's a barrier. And that's outside of even you performing. So things like that.
And is your teammates, like, are your teammates, do they speak English too? Because I feel like if everyone speaks different languages, how are we getting that ball in the hoop?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about sports. No, they didn't speak English, by the way. Like, that wasn't really often. I probably had, like, maybe three that spoke good English to where they could, like, tell me jokes and we could talk a little bit. But a lot of things that is in our vocabulary naturally isn't in theirs, so they wouldn't know that. So, for instance, like, when we're playing, a lot of times I would have to use my hands and point at different areas where they should be. And if certain plays, instead of calling it a play, I would have to hold a hand, a signal to where we all knew this is the play we're running. And the problem was, if somebody didn't see the first signal, there's no way to communicate what we're running. There's no way. So now we have to improvise. And that was like another layer of challenge.
Colin, I'm getting stressed like I'm on the court with you. I'm like, we need to get these people in check. Like,
crazy.
I think lied on the resume is getting me because you're getting in the way of this championship.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
This is a game on the line. Like, get your head in the game for real. And the point guard is kind of like a team leader, too. So it's like you trying to lead your team.
And you can't.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. That's probably the most we've ever been stressed on an episode. We're like, how does this work?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so was he ever fired? Like, do you still have this man? I mean, after your, well, I guess, how long was your contract?
Say one more time.
How long was your contract?
It was for 1 year.
Okay. Okay, in Turkey. And yeah, how long did you have this man as your interpreter?
The whole time?
Yeah. Because, like, to be honest, a lot of teams didn't have interpreters, but, like, at the same time, it depends on the team's budget and what they were willing to pay for and things like that.
Yeah.
So if the general manager doesn't really invest in the fact that, like, okay, we need to have somebody that can communicate with the Americans so they acclimate well, they might put money towards other things. Like, all right, your budget, like my salary. They might have put, instead of paying an interpreter, they'll say, all right, we're going to pay you more just so you can have more money. You know what I mean? So I understood the catch 22 of whatever it was going to be, but that didn't make it easier as you're going through.
Wow. Yeah. And what other countries did you play in besides Turkey?
Finland and Macedonia.
Ooh, okay. Which was your favorite? Because I feel like these are all very unique places.
I'm not going to lie. I probably can't answer that. I can't answer it just because there are so many people who I'm still connected with from each country. And I don't want to alienate anybody. I really don't. I loved each and every one of them individually, very different.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the question we're all wondering, like, what was it like being a Black athlete there in all these countries and traveling?
Because I feel like Black people.
Do they like y'all fill in the blank? Because I need to know, because I feel like this is just very hard already. Like, Black athletes are very, like, fetishized in a way where it's like they only see you as like this vessel to win championships and don't care about your mental health or like your life outside of the court. So like, I feel like that's definitely the case here in America. So I feel like it probably won't be much different overseas, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I would say I had a diverse set of experiences. I would say one, there are, for example, I'll say in Macedonia, it was mainly the children. Like, it was a lot of children who really would look up to you. Like, you were like the Michael Jordan to them. They would be fans of you. They would watch your, they'd follow you on Instagram. They'd DM you every day. After the game, they'll wait in the rain and in the cold just to take a picture with you. Even if you took a picture with them last week.
Whoa.
It was like, that for me, that experience was a good one. Because it's like, how impactful you can be on somebody who don't even speak your language and you don't look like them. They're just happy that you decided to come to their city and play and they can see you and enjoy you and talk to you and stuff like that. So I think that was, I like that aspect. In Finland, I'll tell you something. If you guys can, at any point, you could copy a link or whatever, see geographically on the map where Finland is. I've never seen so many Black people in a European like part that I didn't expect to see. Like Africans, I saw Africans from all over the continent at the top of the globe. Finland is like right under the North Pole. So like,
I was going to say, if I remember correctly, it's like not far from Iceland or Greenland.
It's like, it's like easily one of the most, it's the highest on the globe. And it's the coldest place. It's probably the coldest place you can go to. And I didn't expect to see nobody that looked anything remotely like me. But there were so many Black people there. And they even had a barbershop with Jamaicans. And I'm like, what made y'all come here? I'm literally alarmed. I'm like, hold on, what?
I'm trying to imagine that accent. Finland was Jamaican?
No, for real.
So that was an eye-opening experience, but I would say overall, from the national people in every country, there's a lot of like, you're gonna get stared at. You're gonna get stared at. People are gonna want to take videos of you while you just doing normal stuff. Like if you going shopping at the grocery store, they'll like follow you around and like try to take video of you. Not even like, hey, can I take a picture with you? Like, let me take a video of you, because nobody gonna believe you actually here right now. So
that's not proof. That's insane. I mean, I feel like you're kind of like, you're a walking spectacle.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it.
Wow.
And I have locks, so I look a lot different from people they've seen. So they're like, I want to take videos of you. And like, I don't care if you want permission or not. I don't care if you had like something going on with you before this. Nah, like, I need this footage.
Wow.
And I'm not going to hold you. Y'all, this out, what you're seeing on YouTube isn't doing his locks justice. They are like 36-inch jet black bust down. That's how long they are. That's
funny.
They are so freaking long. When I saw them in real life, I was like, what? That junk is so long. Like, these are not extensions. This is real.
Okay, for real. This is real. Homegrown from the scalp.
Okay.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah, that's actually crazy. So you were a year in Turkey. How long were you in Finland and Macedonia?
I was in Finland for about a month and a half, and then I was in Macedonia for 8 months.
Oh. Wow. So yeah. Is there no like standard contract time? Is it kind of just like where they need you type of thing?
Yeah, and it also depends. Like, so in overseas, there's a lot of different changes and moves that they can make. Like, for example, if a team really, really wants me to come play for them and I'm already on a team, if they have a bigger budget than the team I'm already on, they can pay out my contract that I already have. And then they can pay me more than what I was making at that spot. So where I'm making more money and I can play in a better situation or a different situation. So that's typically how things go.
Oh my gosh.
So you really can't like place your roots anywhere, because you're like, hey, if the money calling, that's where I'm going.
True. Unless you have a place that you like. Unless you have a place that you want to call home.
I see.
You can negotiate that.
Yeah.
Wow. So
there's just so many questions. Like, I think
with everything you say, a new question is unlocked. Like, it's just a lot happening.
I feel like this is one of the first episodes where we really are not following the outline. Like, I'm like, okay, now what about this? So doing like Finland, Macedonia, Turkey, like that must be great. But now you're back in the States.
Right.
You were saying before we got on the pod that like you might be leaving in a month, you might be leaving in 3 months. Like, what does that, how do you deal with that uncertainty? And is that like regular for somebody playing overseas?
Man. Yeah, I think the uncertainty is something that you kind of got to adjust to. Like, because there's no way that you can say within a week or two that you're prepared to live somewhere else for 8 months out the year. And miss every holiday, every birthday that you can possibly get that's not in summer. So for me, it just takes like a lot of prayer and a lot of just being grounded and aligned and just trusting your steps and trusting your process. Like, I love this. It's a dream I've wanted to pursue for a while. So I try to keep the perspective of like, this is something I wanted to do since a kid. Like, as a child, if I looked at myself now, I'm doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, so obviously it comes with uncertainty, but I try to approach it with gratitude.
And you mentioned like you're missing holidays or birthdays. Like, how does your family react to it? Like, how do your family and friends react to, for one, you choosing this path and you continuing down it? Because now it's been some time. So it's like, I know this had to be a hard combo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think that's one of the harder things. Like, my people, at first it was really hard. I would have to watch them cry when I leave. I would have to like hear about things that they wish I was at, or even when like, you know, deaths in the family happen. You know what I mean? And you're not there to like be with your mom or hold your sister or something like that. Those are the hardest things, because it's like, you're so far. Like, it's not even a flight I can take to get there in time to help or do anything about it.
Yeah.
And I think that is easily one of the most difficult, challenging things, being on this journey. But it allows your people to show up for you in different ways, and you can see how much they love you and how much they're willing to, you know, show up for you in ways that you may have not seen before. So.
Wow. So being in all these different countries, obviously, I know boy friendships are different than women friendships, because for me, I have to talk to my girls at least like once a month, every month and a half. But right. like adulting and friendships is already hard. Adulting right. friendships and being on crazy different time zones, month to month, quarter to quarter. How do you like keep in touch with your boys?
It's hard, but I think now we're catching our rhythm. They know that because we're usually on like a 12-hour time difference or like a 9-hour time difference, they'll shoot me a text. Or in their morning time, it's my nighttime. So like if they wake up early around like 6 or 7, it's probably like 10 p.m., 9 p.m. for me. So then they could just give me a call and I'll answer because I'm ready. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I probably go to bed around 11, 11:30. So we'll catch each other like that. And we kind of got our rhythm.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if it's an emergency, they know they can't call me during the normal day because you're going to be calling me at 3 a.m.
And I yeah.
So that's usually how we do it now. That's how we do it now.
Yeah.
And have you made any like friends overseas now too, like on your teams and stuff that are now like strong friendships that you can also call if you need yeah. something or life happens?
Yeah. I would say it's similar to being Greek, right? Because you go through things and it pushes you to levels that you didn't know you had in yourself. But when you're not doing it alone and you have people alongside you going through the same experience, it's kind of like, I see that you're going through something similar to me. I'm going to have your back and you're going to have mine because we're all we have right now. This is it. Mm-hmm. And then you develop and you grow. And it's like, nah, you're really a person that I can see through your character, through your actions, that I want you in my life for the future. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So, yeah, I built a lot of strong bonds over here. I did a lot of strong bonds.
Yeah.
And yeah. That happens very quickly too. Like it don't take time. It's more quality over quantity.
For sure.
Yeah. In that first year, how, like, what were some of the low lows and what were some of the high highs?
That's a really good question. I'm glad you're bringing that up because some of the low lows. So every year I have, it's a funeral, right? Or an anniversary of a passing of somebody I really, really am close to. I really, really love, care about, cherish. That is like always a low. It is mm-hmm. usually a low, but I can at least go visit the burial site and I can like have, I can sit down, have a conversation and be okay. But since being abroad and not having no access to it, and like that's easily the most challenging thing I've ever had to go through. And I think I ever will have to go through, because it's like, there's no way to prepare yourself to be able to deal with things without support. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you can call me, but like if I'm here alone, not even eating the food I normally eat, and I'm like, you're so far removed from what you're used to.
Yeah.
There's no like comfort. You can't get comfort from your environment. You can't really get comfort from people you kind of like or just dealing with. You know what I mean? So that's definitely a low, low, low for me. But the high, high, highs, I would say trying food and being considered rich other places. Like I can afford everything. Everywhere I've been, I can afford everything. I was driving a Porsche when I was in Nesta. So like I can
afford every day be lit.
Period.
Listen, you can do stuff.
Yeah.
So that part of it is like other places, they live life. You know what I mean? And there's things that they can do and be. So I think that was my high, traveling and doing stuff, buying things.
Yeah. What was like your okay. Freck. Okay. First question. When you were going through those low lows, like what were some of your coping mechanisms, like journaling, prayer, a whole bunch of crying, like a whole bunch of food? What did it look like?
Right. So for me, I really had to sit with myself. I already journal for perspective. I journal just so I can have a sense of groundedness in an environment, and like I can get whatever is on me off of me, and I can bring it on. And then I can also look back and be like, look at what God put me through. Like, I got through this. Yeah. Look at how I felt then and look at right now. Like, I really made it through that moment when I felt like
living testimony.
Okay.
Exactly. So I would journal a lot. I would talk to God a lot. Like, I would have to spend a lot of time, like, really trying to get in the Word. I try to turn on a sermon. And sometimes when the walls were closing, I'd just go outside and get some air and just thank God for me being here still. Like, okay, I'm still here. I can still make an impact. I'm still following what He wants me to do. I'm still being obedient. Things are going to be okay. If they're not okay right now, He's going to keep me. I'm going to be okay.
So, yeah.
It took a lot of tears, though. I would cry a lot. I would cry a lot. That's how I get through it, though.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hold you. I'd be crying right now. Like, you're strong. Like, you went through a lot, and it's like to be able to say you're chasing your dreams and you're sacrificing like all these things in your life to still do it is insane.
Yeah,
very, very commendable.
Yeah, because both of us, we moved across the country after college for work, and that was
rough.
Like,
and we were within the same relative time zone of our family members and friends, and we're able to have a community where at least they spoke English versus like, I can't even eat my favorite foods. I don't know what I'm eating type of thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But on the fun side of things, what was your first big boy purchase that was like, yeah, I made it?
I'm not going to be too federal. I'll tell you my second one. my second probably biggest boy purchase. I bought a lot of things, I'm not gonna lie to you.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, there's a
lot. Should, right?
I bought a lot of stuff. Probably a car.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
paying
off a full car, like just right out the gate. Like, let's pay that.
Do you bring your car back to the U.S. and flex on everybody, or do you just keep it overseas and be like, okay, I got my Porsche back in Turkey?
Yeah.
Right. I think it's that. So I didn't want to bring nothing back, for one, because once again, like, I'm calling back at home, and I'd rather have the other stuff. If I travel there, it'd be cool. Like, all right, we're here. We got the Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned like you're calling back at home. Do you feel like when you're overseas and you're playing and you're like living this whole different life, is that like an alter ego for you? Or do you feel like you're still the same calling?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I feel like when you're overseas, it's like you can be a whole new identity. Who's gonna tell you any different? You can literally start from scratch.
I think I'm layered as a person. So I'm still calling, but there's different elements that kind of are accentuated depending on where I am and who I'm around.
Yeah.
As a professional athlete, I can't be the little brother Colin that I am at home. I can't be the new Colin, particularly when might be down, come on. I can't hit holla back or nothing like that over there. Like, I'm a professional. I got to conduct myself a certain way. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Same thing, just different layers.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
And is there like a dream place you would like to play? Like, out of any country, any city, where would you go? For a year.
Right.
adding that in there. Like, you, if you like it, you got to love it. Like, you got to be there for a year.
Right. And like what?
I was going to say, and no amount of money can take you out for a year.
Right.
Oh, we added layers to this.
Caveats, okay?
Wait, what place did you say?
Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Shoot, I went to San Juan last November. I understand. I get it. I, too, would be hooping there because it was a great time.
I, too, would be hooping there. It's crazy.
Hey, I'm not even playing. I got some hops.
She's this small.
Not too much. They can only see from here up.
That's crazy.
So what about PR is like, this is where I need to be?
I think mainly because their season is in the summer. Like, their season is a summertime season, and you can play summertime basketball. The weather is nice. I know that they have, like, beaches, and pretty much every team has a beach that they can play at. I know a lot of people who play there already. And I think I've never been there, and I've always been interested in going there. So I think it'll be a fun experience, and I think it'd be a high level basketball. So.
Okay, period. We're finna call an agent. Get him in PR.
Get him in PR.
Okay? Get him in San Juan. Okay. Like, we have any basketball contacts.
Any.
Who are we finna call? Hey, don't know.
Toastbusters at this point. But
just so serious.
Very, very unhinged. I'm trying to think, like, I just feel like we've been hip hopping. I'm like, I need to go back to the outline.
I know. But, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we can also talk about, like, you mentioned earlier, like, you had to learn different ways of life, different cultures and stuff.
Right.
What about the languages? Like, I know you had an interpreter, but did you feel like you picked up any of the languages as you were there? Or were you kind of just like, I'm only going to be here for a year, I don't need to learn Turkish type of thing?
Right. So I ended up, I would learn a good amount of everything. You know what I mean? So to where I could order my food, I could say thank you, I could say good morning, I could say good evening. I could have directions of where I need to go.
Okay.
And I would learn basketball terminology. But yeah, I would know a little bit of stuff.
Yeah, I would be on that Duolingo app daily.
No, literally. Google Translate. Flip that phone.
All right. And also, like, what are some of your hobbies outside of basketball? Because I imagine, like, you do have downtime. What are you doing if you're not, like, exploring the country you're in?
Right. Once again, I got to be particular about what I say. Because okay. I got a little bit into botany while I was over there.
Oh.
I would watch.
Like plants?
Yeah. And all of them would die, mind you. Like, they would die every single time.
Well, that's life.
Yeah.
Right. Full things circle. Live and die. Yeah. But that is something I would get into. Just try my best to see what works. My mom would give me advice all the time, and like, I would take it, but I just don't have that green thumb. So
I got a brown thumb, like physically, emotionally, like it's been like, do not.
A what?
A brown thumb.
Well, me too. What does that mean?
The opposite of a green thumb. I'm going to kill the plant. Do not give me a plant.
Brown thumb is crazy.
Oh, girl. I never heard that in life.
Sorry. That's a Faith original. Sorry. That's on me.
Like, I'm like, all our thumbs are brown. We're on type A black girls. Like, we.
Yeah, I do. I will say. Well, okay. So other than botany, what else are you doing with your downtime? And what does the downtime even look like?
Right. So it depends. Like, so my schedule for this year, we would practice sometimes like 2-3 times a week. We'd go twice a day. So in the morning time and the afternoon time. So when I'm not playing ball, I'll probably be on a game. I'll be playing like Call of Duty, Need for Speed, Fight Night. I'll be talking to my sister. I talk to my mom. I talk to my brother. I talk to my nieces. And sometimes I just explore. I would like look around a little bit and see different food spots that are good, which spots are low key, which spots is lit, like, and seeing, you know, things of that nature. Yeah. That's pretty much it. You can't really do too much. I didn't want to really get into too much while I'm over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I imagine the safety thing is probably, I don't know. I feel like if I was overseas and I just wasn't familiar with it, not to say I would be a little discouraged from going out and exploring, but it's like, you just don't know. Like, there's just too much going on in this world to be out there willy-nilly like that.
I will say this. Everywhere I've been so far, like, for the most part, it's been not super prejudiced, but like, I've been searched by multiple police in different countries every single time. Like, they'll stop me and be like, hey, yo, like, I need to check what's going on with you. Let me see your passport. And they'd like say, put your hands up. Like, let me see if you got something. So I don't know if that was like customary, but in some places it was. Some places people, like, the law enforcement there was strict and they didn't even allow like nothing to chance. But for me, I think that to your point of being able to move around, I want to be smart, and I know my nerves are bad sometimes, so I need to make sure that when I step outside, I'm in a good space. I had a good talk with God, and I'm prepared to, you know, if somebody approaches me in a way that I don't appreciate or I'm uncomfortable with that I don't respond in a way that could get me in trouble.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. One wrong move.
That's a very smart move.
Very, very smart. So I'm just imagining like, okay, like the dollar is stretching. Every day we lit, we in Porsches. When you go to the club, what does that look like? Because you're like, they're like, oh, that's Colin. Like Colin is at our club. You see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking like Steph Curry popping bottles. What did it look like for you?
Free section at minimum.
Yeah.
No, for sure. No, for sure. I will say that. Like every single place I've been, it's like, they walk me through the back sometimes. When I was in Turkey, I knew the owners of every single spot just because they know who the good players are. Like they know. Yeah. And if you have a, like, if they reach out to you and you're like, okay, yeah, I think I'm going to go this time. I got friends in town. They're like, oh, yeah, for sure. Bet. Let me know when you get here. We're going to walk you through the back. This is your section. Going to be by the DJ booth. We got this, this, and this. And, like, all types of stuff. And it's like, that experience for me is really cool. It was dope. Once again, I'm not going to lie, y'all. I'm kind of a paranoid type of person because I've always been wary of being, one, an athlete and being a black man while being an athlete and the certain type of things that come with that.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to be in a position where I have to defend myself when I didn't do something. Never.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really conscious of that. So as soon as certain things start like happening, I know, okay, it's time for me to leave.
I'm right.
I'm going out of there.
Even if other people were indulging in that,
mm-hmm.
I know that's not my story. I don't want God to make an example out of me.
Say it.
I don't want that. So, like, all right, we had a good time. I'm going to go ahead and head out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely. Sections and all that. Yeah.
And I'm very curious. So, the music in said clubs, are we talking about Turkish rap? Like Turkish Drake? Like, what are we looking at? Because I'm just wondering, do they play American music or do they just play their own version of said American music?
Sometimes. So, in the spots I went to in Turkey, they had DJs that was playing, like, if, say, for example, Drake came out on Friday, a whole new Drake album, they would have four different Drake songs on that Saturday. They would have them on the playlist, and they would be playing, like, all the up-to-date music, and they was on it, you know what I'm saying? Like, a real good DJ. Like, they had, the DJ found out that me and a couple of my teammates was in there. We was coming from California, so they would play Snoop, YG,
Wow.
Blast, Beano. And like they was doing stuff.
What?
Like that. Seriously. And that's
Blast?
Why I'm amazed. I said, look at y'all. Like, why are y'all doing that?
The research.
I'm not gonna hold you. I go to parties in Brooklyn and they don't even play Blast. I'm like, well, y'all, it's not that far. So to be in Turkey?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's crazy. But then other places I listen to Serbian music. And that was a different vibe. Like you in a section, right? And they playing, I can't describe it. You know what I mean? Okay. I can't really describe it. I won't say it's bad. It's very different. It's not what we're used to.
Yeah.
But like everybody, it's turned in there though. Like they're like,
this is it.
They're doing their versions of dance moves and like they singing the lyrics to each other. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. This is
wow.
Yeah. It's crazy though. It depends.
Yeah.
Well, that's so cool. Oh my gosh. I feel like I got to go to Turkey now or something. Go somewhere.
No, so in those, like, when you're kind of having these, like, really cool experiences, are you, like, present or you're like, what the heck is my life? Like, what is that? like, for example, we had, like, a pretty big person on our podcast. And every 5 minutes, like, I think, like, oh my gosh. We're actually interviewing this person. Like, we took all the steps to get here. Like, we're here. We're doing mm-hmm. it. And then I have to come back because I'm like, I am a podcast host. So, like, are you, like, at like, oh, I'm here. I'm living for it. And then after, you're like, wow, that was crazy. Or during, you're like, I'm Colin Slater. Like, what?
Yeah, like, literally. What? Like, are you dissociating right then and there? Because I'm not going to lie. I think I dissociate quite often. So, I
quite
can't.
Often.
Right. Yeah. I think I try to be present because I understand, like, after having a year of experience under my belt and, like, knowing how quick it goes but how long it feels while you're in it, you tend to be in that moment and, like, okay, this experience probably could happen again or never happen again, but enjoy this for what it is. You won't get back. So I'm very present. But then I think afterwards, I really reflect. Like, times like now, being back home, I sit and I reflect and I'm like, wow. Like, I can't believe that happened. Like, I have no idea, and no, not in my wildest dreams, but I think I'm here and doing this.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you mentioned, like, being back home. I want to know, when you came back home, what was the first thing you were like, I'm back home, I need to do this? Whether it's try, go back to your favorite restaurant, see your family. Like, what was your number one to-do list once you got back to the States?
Man, I had to see my family. Like, that's that's something that, like, that's uncompromisable. Like, I got to see my family. So I saw my mom, my dad, my sister, you know what I mean? And I'm going to see my nieces today. So that's definitely something that's important.
Yay.
This is a good, this is perfect timing then, because no, y'all, absolutely. When we were planning this episode, we thought you were overseas. So we're like, oh my God, like, this man, we're going to be talking to him at 3 a.m. his time or our time. We don't know. So we're glad you're back in the States.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, but very, very excited. So I know you said, like, you know, you've had all these experiences. Like, are there any memorable experiences that you can share that you've had while playing abroad?
Okay. Yeah. Basketball on the court. I'll give you an on the court one.
Okay. On the court. Okay.
I'll give you an on the court one. I had a teammate. Him and the coach didn't get along at all. At all. This game, I happened to sit out. I was hurt or something. I had an injury. And it was a timeout. And the coach said something to him in his native language. But the coach speaks English. This coach speaks English. So he says something. And my teammate, mind you, he from Brooklyn, New York, right? Just perspective. He from Brooklyn. Okay. And he got a little accent. He was like, yo, would you say B? And then the coach was like, you heard me. So they had a moment. And so then my teammate walks up to the coach and he's like head to head with him, like right in his face. And he says, say something else. I will make sure you go to sleep right here, right now. Mind you, it's a close game. We're about to win. We're down one. This is the time. He's one of the best players. Like, we're trying to give him the ball to go score. He says, say something else and I'm going to make sure you go to sleep right now. So everybody on the team is like,
what's tea?
This is not about to happen right now. And I'm looking. I'm not stopping anything, first of all. I'm not stopping the thing. I'm just looking like, if he does this, he might go to jail out here, first of all.
Yeah.
He might go to prison. Two, this was a nationally televised game that we're playing. Like, this was like the equivalent to it being on like an ESPN or something. Mm-hmm. And this is happening. So I'm just imagining the cameras panning over to me, looking at my face, looking over at what's happening. I'm like, this is going to be on the internet for sure.
For sure.
So he ends up cussing him out, and then the coach didn't say nothing. Like, he said say something else, he didn't say something else. He was quiet. So then my teammate took the jersey off, he stormed out of the gym and walked out, and we ended up losing.
What was said?
He never ended up saying what he said in English. He never said it. But my teammate was like, say something else. I'm going to make sure you go to sleep. So he knew what that meant.
Yeah.
He heard that and stayed silent. He stayed silent. He didn't say anything. He was quiet.
Well, he didn't want to go to sleep.
Oh, the girls are fighting. Wait, first of all, what language did they both speak?
They both spoke English. But at the time, I don't want to give away what language the coach was speaking.
Oh, yeah. No, not too much.
Yeah.
That's what federal means. I'm like, federal? I've never, what?
I get it. It's like, we don't want to expose anybody. The girls. Right.
They'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But like, if you know, you know. If you don't, like, I'll, yeah. But
yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. It's getting a little spicy on the court.
Yeah.
What? And did he get like fired after that, or did he still play after that?
That was like our last game. So like but like nobody held him like accountable for it. It was like, nothing happened.
Whoa.
I don't know what that coach said. But clearly it has to be bad, bro, because last game, you got 1 point on the line.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's insane. Oh my gosh. Okay, wow. Well, so off the court, what's a memorable
twist? Nothing federal.
Right, nothing federal at all. Okay. So I was, I'll say where I was at. I was in Greece. And I'm with my homegirl at the time. And we driving in a car. And this car come behind us. And it's like flashing the lights. My homegirl from LA. So she has a little bit of an attitude. A little bit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm in a passenger seat, right? So I'm like, all right, these people about to go around us. And I don't know who they are. It was like a little van. They drive up around us and then go in front of us. So she speed up around and get on the side of them. Roll down my window. We both black, though. We both black. And it's dark. It's nighttime. She rolled down my window, flip this car off, and then drive forward. And she speeded. So now I'm like, I'm fine. I'm like, all right. So if these are men in that car, if she so happens to have to stop and get out and confront these men, I'm probably gonna go to jail out here. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah. So you're accepting your fate at this moment.
Already. I'm like, okay, she chose it for me. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. All right.
This is where we're at. This is what we're gonna do. So then now this car is like speeding with us. And she's like, oh, they're following us. We're gonna get off. I'm like, we gonna get off.
Who's we?
Like, what are you?
What?
And she's like, we're gonna get off. And then next thing you know, this police lights. It was a car. It was four police officers in a van. Literally. And they flashed the lights. And she was like, and I'm like, all right. I don't know what's, I said, please pull over somewhere where there's a lot of light. That's it.
Yeah.
Pull over somewhere where there's a whole lot of light and it's kind of public, like even a gas station.
Yeah. She's like, right.
So we pull over. They immediately get out the car. They're yanking on the door. Like, get out the car. They're knocking on the window. And I'm like, all right. I'm starting to record. I'm trying to pull out my phone. I start to record.
Yeah,
like,
easily.
It's about to, what? There's something about to happen because they hot and we black. I'm like, oh my God, it's about to happen. They open the door. First thing he do is snatch my phone and say, no record. And he snatch it out my hand. And I'm like, I'm looking at my hand as it snatched out. Like, okay, so this is really about to happen right now. He take us out the car. He like, hey, take your bag off. And I'm not taking my bag off. He reached for my bag. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to take my bag off.
Yeah.
Take my bag off. It was like a little over-the-shoulder bag. I had like my passport and all that. He grabbed it. He looking all through it. He was like, do you have drugs in here? And I'm like, no, I don't got drugs in here. He's like, all right, we'll see. Dang. And then at that point, there was two other officers. Only one was talking to my homegirl. The other two officers came over and was like, get to the back of the car, open your legs and put your hands on top of the roof. Open your legs. And they kind of pushing me on the car. I'm like, dog, I'm not even doing nothing. Like, I can't believe what's happening right now. And if they do anything to me, it's a wrap. Like, there's nothing I could do right now. So my hands is on the roof. And no lie, like, there was no reason for this man to be touching me as much as he was touching me. He was taking it far. Like, he was taking it far. I'm like, there's nothing in the front of my pants right there. There's nothing. Nothing. Like, nothing at all. To where, like, it was to a point, and I'm not even trying to be too graphic, but I'm giving you, like, literally what happened, right?
Yeah.
He has both his hands in front of my pants, and he's trying to feel for something that's not there. I'm like, So whole time, I'm in amazement because we just came from a really good dinner. We had steaks, we had wine, so I'm feeling good. We were having a good time. So I'm like, am I about to go to jail for nothing? So then I don't have nothing on me. Check all my bags and stuff. And then the cop that was talking to my homegirl was like, so which one, was it you that flipped me off? It was you, wasn't it? He was talking to me. And I ain't say nothing. One thing, I'm not federal. I ain't say nothing. So then my homegirl was like, no, that was me. I did that. he didn't do anything wrong. I did that.
Period.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, she's a rider. I said, I appreciate that. Because like, they would have did whatever they had to do with me for sure.
Facts.
He was like, why are y'all talking to him and not me? Why aren't y'all talking to me? I'm the one that was driving the car. I'm the one with the license. It's my car. Like, why aren't y'all talking to me? And then the cop was like, because you're a woman. We talk to men. And I'm like, all right. Not for real. Like, this is, and my homegirl can attest to all this. This is full-fledged flat facts. So then that happened. And then she explains to the team she played on. Like, because these officers didn't know who we were. Until we started naming the teams we played.
Yeah. And then
at that point, one of the officers was like, oh, you play for blah, blah, blah. And you're this. Oh, okay. And then, like, try to get Instagrams and stuff like that. So, like, the whole, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Instagram? Like, oh, I'm sorry,
no problem. It's just you can't be acting like that on the road. Be careful. Oh, I forgot to mention, they tried to search the car for weed. Or some drugs or something. It's like, where are the drugs at? Opening a trunk and like going through a car and all types of stuff. Like,
oh my gosh.
Between the sexual harassment and the misogyny, there's a lot going on.
It's a lot to unpack. Goodness gracious. We are like the men?
Crazy. It was crazy. Wow. That was crazy. That was the craziest experience I've had while being abroad. And even like, I was like, dang, I'd never experienced nothing like that. I ain't never really been searched by the police. Until I got overseas.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we live in America, so this is good.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't playing around. It was really trying to figure something out.
Yeah. Whoa.
Wow. Oh, that's insane. That's insane. Well, I'm glad you guys made it out safe. Talk about, let me get your Instagram, follow me back. That's crazy, isn't it?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Wow. Wow.
Ooh. I'm not going to lie. You had us on the edge of our seat because I'm like, where is this about to go?
No, like actually, like genuinely.
That's a why would you do that? I mean,
truly. But before we go into why would you say that, what advice would you give to young athletes aspiring to play basketball professionally? Like what advice you wish you had back when you were like 13, 14?
I would say continue to be a student of the game, continue to want to, learn yourself, study people before you, watch a lot of good basketball, whether that's NBA games, overseas games, and enjoy the process of getting better.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, that was a really good note to end off of. I'm glad we ended on that note and not the police note.
But
thank you so much, Colin. I mean, I feel like we learned a lot this episode about overseas basketball in general, point guard, the whole nine. So we appreciate you coming on. I'm just name dropping every basketball term I know.
No, literally.
But if you guys are new here, we do have a segment called Why Would You Say That? Where we talk about the most insane things that we've seen all week, whether that's in person or on Twitter or on TikTok. I'm not going to lie, Colin, that was a why would you do that? With the cops?
Yeah.
Asking for the Insta, but moms, do you have anything?
Yeah, so last night, it's not a why would you say that, but it's more so a why would you do that. So last night, we were doing like swipe on each other's TikToks yesterday, and we had like seen this like, what's the thing that Tisha Campbell's on? My Wife and Kids. We saw like some swappable thing on TikTok on there, and there was this picture of her, and I was like, oh, that's Facetuned. And we looked it up, and boy, was it. It wasn't. So she had, if you need to be on YouTube for this, but she has like a fade on the side and then hair on the other side. Do you see what I'm saying? Look at the, like.
Yeah. It's a great fade.
But what? But why was it, is it a half and half fade frohawk? Like, I'm just not.
And that's insane because I feel like she's literally one of the OGs when it comes to like black sitcom. Like, My Wife and Kids, from My Wife and Kids and Martin, that lady ran my childhood.
No, truly and surely, but why that hairstyle? Like, what was
crazy?
What was going on?
She said, I'm still here.
Oh my gosh. You know how people say, like, boo tomatoes? Like, I'm throwing tomatoes. Somebody said, tomatoes aren't hard enough. Boo coconuts. And then somebody said, not enough. Boo. And then did a whole bunch of, like, not coffins, like a little, you know, when they, like, cremate you and put them in the little vase? Talking about throwing your granny. Urns? What? That's urns.
I'm like, urn? What happened to brick? Like, we can't start with brick.
Bro, throwing your granny?
That's insane. That's people are
literally
sick.
Because why would you say that on Rihanna's internet? Like, come on now.
On Beyonce's internet? Come on. Somebody said Diddy's, well, this is not somebody, this is a news report. The news said Diddy's legal team motions to dismiss counts in sexual assault lawsuit, arguing that certain laws didn't exist in 1991. And someone quoted and said he'd been a freak for so long that his argument is that some laws weren't around when he was being a freak. Wild. Like, oh, this law didn't exist in 1991, so you can't charge me. Are you serious?
I made that up.
For so long is crazy.
What?
Wait, Colin, I'm curious. Like, how did you ever keep up with, like, pop culture going on in the States when you were overseas? Like, did you have friends updating you? Like, hey, this crazy stuff just happened.
Yeah.
And now you know?
I got all the tea.
Okay. Period.
Okay.
I'm mentioning Diddy. I'm like, I know you didn't have TikTok. So I was like, oh, we might have to unpack a lot with this one.
Right.
Oh my gosh. My coworker just told me that her cousin got called a snicker licker growing up because she only dated black guys. Oh, what?
That just. I'm not gonna lie, not the first time I've heard that. Middle school.
The first time I've ever seen that. I've never heard of a snicker licker before. Because, huh? Why would you say that? Somebody said, never mind, that came from a coworker, but also at 9 a.m. on a Friday. First thing first, I'm the realest. What? I just. Because, like, actually, what? And the thing is, this isn't like. These are like kind of hinged because honestly, in earlier seasons, towards the middle, once we graduated college, we got really unhinged with the why would you say that. So we just got so like we're grown, we can say whatever we want. Like now we're a little bit more calmer, but like it really, if you said into the end, it was truly a treat. Now you're only getting that stuff on Patreon because what were we talking about?
No, literally, what were we saying? Somebody posted their Instacart driver, they messaged them. Deontay F, your Instacart shopper. This is what he said. He said, dang, what you making? The little tongue emoji. JK, I'm on my way.
Yo.
Bro, we are not friends. Talk about what you making. Get my produce delivered safely. How about that?
No. Let's work on
that. Because you know male Instacart drivers.
Ooh. Oh.
Bro, why did I ask for one onion and I got 10? Going with 10 onions, bro. Come on. I don't got enough meals all week to make 10 onions. And the other 9 rotted because I did not need no 10 onions.
Oh my gosh, bro. I asked for basil. Why did they give me a basil plant? Like I told you, I have a brown thumb. I'm not taking care of it. I threw it in the trash. I said, this,
bro.
I'm not even going. Y'all got it.
You know, while we're still on the topic of plants, I'm sick of potatoes acting like they want to grow new potatoes. What's up with that? I'm so sick of that. I bought some potatoes and literally, like, it's been 4 days. I open them out. Why do they have sprouts? I'm disgusted. Now I got to throw the whole thing away. And my mom was like, oh, it's because they're trying to sprout new potatoes. I don't care what they're trying to do. It's not about them. Like, I got soup to make. And literally, they just started, like, it was disgusting. If you've ever seen potatoes with sprouts, it's literally disgusting. And it looks like mold. I know it's not, but it's just, it's not cute.
You don't just cut them off? Just, like.
Once I see it, it's slow.
Oh, I see.
Like, new potatoes. Just, y'all messed up.
Oh, my gosh. Some girl said, one day we'll talk about the friend that follows every man you're interested in. Somebody said, I told my friend that I liked a guy we both knew. She smashed him the next day and gave me a review. 1 through 10, how good was he? 8.5 because this, that, and the third? Huh? we've got to fight. And I'm not even a big fighter. I'm a macer.
No, we got to take this outside.
That's not bad. How about that for real? Because what?
No, yeah, that's a level of pick me that I just, wow.
She might be the Thanos of pick me's. I'm not going to hold you because
I'm not going to hold you. She got all Infinity Stones and they are all your man.
Literally. Every single man you said you had a crush on, she's like, well, this one is 7.5, so you don't need to smash him. Like, no, huh?
No, we could really talk about that. I knew a few where it was like, the second, yeah, I've seen them in action.
Wait, y'all, that happens?
In real life, it happened a lot in college. Yes.
From friends?
To me directly, I just started keeping my stuff discreet. I said, I'm not talking about nobody.
No.
Y'all will think I play for the other team before I mention who I think is cute in this party. Some of them get real grimy. So I said, oh, no, none of these are my type. Because, yeah, like, girls will get real nasty.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Infinity Stones and all of them is your man is old. Like, that's out of this world. That's crazy.
It's not real life.
But it happens.
In real life. Also, not a why would you say that, but just like a what was that? We watched Baby Reindeer.
Here's the thing. Me and Danasia are limited series girlies down. At this point, it's tradition. Like, we watch, I guess Insecure isn't a limited series, but we watched Behind Her Eyes.
Woo!
God!
Bro. I'm not gonna lie. This kind of rivals Behind Her Eyes as far as shock factor.
Yeah.
Just from the first episode, we were just like jaw on the ground. What is going on? And if you guys don't know, Baby Reindeer, how do we even describe it? It's based on a true story of a man that's stalked by a 40-something-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Named Martha.
Yeah.
Let's just say this lady's emailing him thousands upon I think they said she emailed like 42,000 emails over the course of them knowing each other for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm talking about thousands upon thousands of emails. And she signed everyone off of with sent from my iPhone. But the lady didn't have no iPhone. She was typing that out every time.
From a computer.
From a computer. Just to give a sense of how crazy it is. I mean.
Just actually sick. Like, I saw you working today. Like, she'd be at his job every single day, like clockwork, talking about some, yeah, I'm a lawyer. Like, I got this, that, and the third to do, but we'll stay the whole work day at the bar.
Mm-hmm. And talk about, all right, baby, I got to run. I'm busy. You just spent the whole day here. Like, oh my God, you guys, if you don't watch anything, please watch Baby Reindeer. I'm not going to lie, it does get very. Yeah, not in the dark. And when I tell you, we were watching it halfway through, I got up and relocked my doors. I said, not tonight. Yeah. The devil is not playing with me. I literally put the little chain one? I put that one on too.
Yeah.
That's how scary. It's not like jump scary. It's just like psychologically scary. Like someone can really be that deranged and stalking you.
Yeah. And don't watch it inebriated. That was my first. I'm sitting there like.
What? Yeah. Talk about paranoia, bro. It was just.
Annoying. It was
stressful sober, so I can only imagine.
Yeah, it was I think it's Baby Reindeer, Behind Her Eyes, and then Griselda. I think that
Griselda's in a whole different category, but I love Griselda down. She was running shit. Like it was nobody's business.
I have a Mexican work bestie, and I was like, girl, you saw Griselda? Like I just binged it this weekend, and she's like, yeah, we don't watch those kinds of things because it portrays us in a bad light. She's like, I was like, kind of like slavery movies for us. She was like, yeah. I said,
Well. And that makes sense because you cannot pay me to watch 12 Years a Slave. To this day, I will not watch it. I can't do it.
Can't.
Simply can't. I like I said before, when I had my little era where I was going through different historical wars and stuff that was happening, when I dived into slavery, I couldn't say hi to my coworkers for a week. It was
that morning. Bye.
Yeah, like just these are just certain things that you gotta know what you gotta know.
No facts, but
yeah. Wow, this has been a lot of why would you say that?
One of our longest ones.
Because we haven't had many this season. Yeah. We haven't had many this season. I think our unhingedness was waiting for this. So thank you, Colin, for putting up with it.
Thank you so much.
But you guys, thank you again to Colin. We'll have all your links. If you got any basketball highlights, the girlies will go and like and subscribe, whatever you need, so we can promote and get him to Puerto Rico. We'll have everything in the description. And yeah, thank you so much for watching, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Love y'all. Bye.